How close were you to buying the Cowboys?
My dad tried to buy the Cowboys, and I met Jerry Jones for the first time when the Super Bowl was here. And we kind of reminisced about that story.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and, you know, my dad, you know, always felt it was, you know, because he kind of had a reputation of being, you know, a ladies' man, kind of, you know, a maverick kind of a guy.
Then they let Jerry Jones buy the
team. He's, you know, I don't know Jerry that well, but it was just, it was funny because he knew, he was very well aware of the story and you know, kind of grateful that he got the team.
You ever see a scenario where the Lakers aren't in your family?
I can't imagine that. That's not the way it should be.
Yeah, right.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome back to the podcast. Beloved, this is indeed your brother, Big VJ, checking in. Today's conversation, we're going to shoot the bobo, right? We're just going to have a conversation, and we're going to talk technology. We're going to talk business. We're going to talk about our brother, LeBron. Because, you know, as of late, I've been seeing them, I guess they're ramping up on the Blaze pizza advertising. You know what I'm saying? And I'm seeing my brother, you know, do what he do. He's in ownership, right? He's in the front. So, of course, we know if our brother LeBron is in the front of Blaze Pizza, we know that Rick, we know that our open enemy is in the back, right? You know, before we had a conversation, beloved, let me say this. You know, shout out to everybody that rock with us. YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Google Podcasts, Spotify, everybody, right? We definitely appreciate the love. We appreciate the support. We appreciate the comments, right? Make sure you shoot us an article or a link to an article that you want to have a conversation about. Make sure you do it on the Instagram. Because sometimes when you're trying to do it on YouTube, it's, I don't know, beloved, YouTube is funny. They do some shadow banning shit, so much so that I can't even see the comments on YouTube. You know what I mean? But, you know, I don't know. They done took down our channel a couple of times anyway. So it's just like, it's only so much that we can see that you can send us. And we're going to go back to posting the emails up so you can just, you know, go back to sending the links to the email. But outside of that, we appreciate everybody that send us great stories, great content through the Instagram, because the Instagram seemed to work pretty well. You know, if you got a link, that'd be perfect if you do it that way, right? You know, so shout out to our brother B. Harris and everybody that dropped the comments, right? Sister Renee and our brother 10 Speed and everybody, right? Even, you know, shout out to our brother, shout out to our brother Warren. You know what I'm saying? Because something was posted, something was said, and we appreciate it. You know what I mean? It's an ancestor from my village. He's no longer here. His name is Dr. Henry Clark. He was a historian. He was a researcher. You know, Dr. Henry Clark is a master teacher, right? He is, not was, he is a master teacher, because the work that he presented is still here, right? It was a panel that he was on, right? And the name of the panel was like, you know, a conversation of the masters or something like that. You know, the master's table or something, right? I can't remember exactly what the name of the panel that he was sitting on But it was like him, Brother Jackson, somebody else. They was just having a conversation. So a question was put on the table. And they were asking our brother, who is now our ancestor, Dr. Henry Clark. They was like, yo, what do our people need to know about the so-called white man that they don't already know? Right? So like I said, it was a couple other brothers on the panel, and they gave, you know, they gave their responses. Yet when it came to Dr. Henry Clark, he said that it is important that our people understand that the so-called white man is not human. Because the problem that we see is that our people think that he's human, and they're relating to him like he's human, and he's not even human. That man, beloved, have a totally different nature than you and I. He is not like us. He got his own kind. He got his own look. He got his own nature, his own appetite, his own dance, his own everything. He is not like us. You will notice, though, beloved, what follows him is captivity, corruption, and disproportion. He doesn't have a nature of like freedom, justice, and equality like you do. He just doesn't have it. So, you know, when I see our people around him, well, I already know the end or the conclusion of the matter, because I know his nature. It's not going to turn up no... There's only one way the outcome can be. It can't be another way. All he knows is captivity, disproportion, and corruption, right? Our brother LeBron James is being pimped to the highest level. I mean, beloved, to the highest level. The small hats, the hook nose, the Jaimes, whatever you want to call them, they got our brother so locked up in these contracts that he could never be independent. He could never be free. And they got him on the whole scroll, on the blade of corporate America. How many of our entertainers that we've seen live a life of wealth, a life of fame and notoriety, and they die broke, right? See, as for me, beloved, I was, you know, being that I'm a 70s baby, the biggest star that we ever seen on the planet was a brother named Michael Jackson, right? Peace be upon him. He's no longer here. Mike, beloved, was the biggest star we have ever seen. I mean, I'm speaking for my generation, right? We talking about a man, beloved, that sold 750 million albums worldwide, right? We talking about a man that was with Coca-Cola, and he had all these commercial endorsements, and he turned around and he bought the rights to the Beatles. And but after all of that, you know what I'm saying, stage presence, brother, listen, sisters, listen, when Mike used to come to the concert venue, they used to have two or three ambulances parked outside. The people was fainting when they seen his brother. He had the strongest spirit of influence on him I think I ever seen on any human being. I never seen nothing like that, right? Yet though, beloved, when he died, right, after amassing all these riches and wealth, and but when he died, the vultures came in, right? Before he even hit the grave, good, you start hearing about the brother's debt. Oh, he's in debt over here. He's in debt over there. He's in debt here. He's not here to defend himself. Debt over here, debt over there. And then the biggest vulture to come in was the United States government. It was the IRS. Who can remember that the IRS came out and they said, well, you know, Mike owe us $500 million. Mike owe us $500 million in taxes. And then because he owe us $500 million in taxes, well, there's a penalty. And the penalty is $200 million. So he owes us $700 million. We all can remember that like yesterday. Like $700 million. That don't even sound. But thank God, right? Mama Jackson was on her job. She said, nah, we just going to see y'all crackers in court. And nobody ever thought to put the IRS in court, but Mama Jackson did. Thanks to her wisdom, she secured her son's estate. Yet, we see that whatever is left of the riches and wealth Michael Jackson's quote unquote children is going to get it. Right. And I say quote unquote because, you know, I may not know the NASA program, beloved. You know, I may not know a lot of things. But one thing black folk do know is we know biracial children when we see them. If we don't know nothing else, we know that. And when you see the quote-unquote children of Michael Jackson, beloved, they are not. Those children are not biracial children. They're devils. And they're going to get what is left of this great entertainer's estate, right? The devil get a kick out of us living rich, beloved, and dying broke. Right. That's why the JBA, the Small Hat Basketball Association, the Zionist Basketball Association, the Haimi Basketball Association, 60% of NBA players out of getting all those hundreds of millions of dollars in his contracts, within 5 years, beloved, they go broke. They retire, they exit the league. And within 5 years, they're broke. Right? Beloved, I'm going to submit to you is that's by design. That Antoine Walker went broke. That Latrell Sprewell went broke. That Glenn Rice went broke. These are guys that got $90 million contracts and $100 million contracts. And like they all go broke. The hustle is to keep our people from ownership. The devil knows no matter how much money he gives you, that as long as you are an employee, that money is going to run out. It can't sustain anything. Employership, ownership is going to, you're going to sustain your riches and wealth, not through employeeship. The money is going to run out. He knows that. So the ultimate plan is to keep our people out of ownership. Give you a whole bunch of money. Give you a boatload, a shipload of money. But they know your people is poor. You guys are consumers. And the money is going to go. No matter how many hundreds of millions it is, it's going to go. Our brother LeBron James is at the Lakers, right? My pops, beloved, he's always been a big Lakers fan and a Cowboys fan. Not a Lions fan, right? A Cowboys fan. And one of the players that they used to love back in the day was a brother named Wilt Chamberlain. Wilt just couldn't be stopped, you know. Wilt had a brother named Bill Russell that was his rivalry, right? We going way back, you know what I'm saying? And it's a funny story about our brother Wilt Dawn, because he became a Laker, but he wasn't always a Laker. He was at the 76ers first. You know what I mean? I believe the 76ers had just changed their name. They used to be the Philadelphia Warriors. Now it's the Golden State Warriors. But it used to be the Philadelphia Warriors. And I believe after that, Wilt was there. And a couple of people owned the team at the time. It was a devil named Ike. You know, Ike Richmond owned the team. And he had a partner. His partner was a Jaime. And his name was Kosloff, right? The small hat. Well, to get our brother Wilt to play on the 76ers, Ike offered Wilt 25% ownership of the team. How many of you guys know that? They offered Wilt 25% of the team. Which would mean that if Wilt would have just kept that his estate right now, and you know, Wilt is no longer here. He didn't have any children, anything like that. It just would have went to his family. But they would have been worth a fortune, like $600 million. Because that 76ers team is like $2 billion strong right now. But 25% of the team, that was unheard of. So it's like in league policy that you can't be an owner and a player at the same time. So that means that Wilt just would have played on the 76ers. He would have retired and walked right into the ownership spot, where he would have got 25% from Ike, because Ike used to be his attorney. That was his attorney. This is who did. So they was tight. They was partners. You know what I'm saying? He was cool with the devil. But guess what, though? The devil had a partner. The partner is a Jaime. And when Ike fell out, in a weird kind of way, he collapsed courtside during the Boston game in 1965. When Ike fell out, the Jaime didn't want to honor the 25% ownership deal. That's how Wilt ended up leaving and going to California and playing for the Lakers. Now, you know, if there ever was a story that you think like, man, they should have did a deeper investigation on it, because that just, you know, it just all sounds fishy. It just never happened, though. Wilt went to California, put up great numbers. He died. His estate was worth $10 million. The mansions and everything. Eric got his house. Eric, the guy that do that old crypto kind of like shit. Eric living in a weird old house out there in LA. Out there in California. So, beloved, I'm saying all that to say this. These folks have a plan to keep you in the employee box, to keep you a slave, to keep you a servant. They don't care how much money you get. They are playing a different game than we are playing. And our entertainers that are making the money in which we can get real financial freedom in this country, well, they're doing something different on a monopoly table, and they're being taught to do something different by the money handlers. The people that's handling them, they're teaching them to do something different. This country, beloved, is built on family, titleship, occupation, position, and ownership. That's what America is built off of. That's why, beloved, we always say, man, you know, you only have two outs in this country. Our salvation is separation. You can't do anything with him. This is a man that is, it's his nature. He's going to be, corruption follows him. He doesn't have anything. You're not going to walk down a yellow brick road and go off into the sunset with him. It doesn't, that's not his nature. He's not that kind of a person. You keep, like Dr. Henry Clark said, you think he's human. You think he's human because he can show, he kicking you. We all bleed red blood, brother. Ain't that what the devil tell you? You all bleed red. But beloved, the possum got red blood too. That's not your brother. The deer, goddamn, the pig, the hawk, the rat bleeds red. That doesn't mean that's your brother. He's not like you. Family, titleship, occupation, position, and ownership. That's what this country is ran on. That's what they can give you all the money in the world. But a judge that makes six figures can take your freedom. Do you know why? Because the judge have an occupation and a position. That's part of the rulership of this country. Family, titleship, occupation, position, and ownership. That's what runs this country. They got you chasing money, so they just give you a check. But the check doesn't... No, beloved. You have to have a strong family and titleship and occupation and position here. You got to have ownership here. They're playing Monopoly, and we're playing run down and get a check. So to get financial freedom, the universe gives us the talents. We got the gifts to do it. Yet we keep taking our talents and our gifts and our energy and our time, and we build religions. We're great at building religious institutions. We're great at it. The rest of the world are building their family. So the Rothschilds wake up every day to make the Rothschild family stronger. And this is a family that we talk about often here because they've been popping since 1763, and they still controlling niggas right now to this day. Meanwhile, we got a, what's our oldest institution here? Is it First Baptist? Maybe it's Richard Allen. Our brother Richard Allen founded the AME in 1816. Okay, so we're using our time, talent, energy, and our gifts, and we're building the AMEs of the world. AME been around since 1816. Not one bank is here. They don't own no community. They're not employing anybody. Yet, since 1816, this simulation has been getting time, talent, energy, gifts, our money, all of this. And then what? See, that's the game they got us in. We're chasing religion. We're not building the family. It's a bunch of single parent shit going on. And we don't know it's the family that's the out. So we talk so much, beloved, about keeping your marriage together. And we also say things that a lot of our brothers don't even like for us. Brother, stay with your wife. We understand that infidelity is real because that's the thing our brothers get hung up on. Beloved, we need you to get past the infidelity. Go to counseling. Get some therapy for your old lady. Because we got residue on us from America. The men have residue on us because we live in America. Let me make a pivot, right? I wasn't going to go down this road, but I'm going to go down this road. There's a beautiful country in the continent, right? Its name is Swaziland. Swaziland is like right above South Africa. You know what I mean? In their custom, in their tradition, they have hundreds, if not thousands, of young ladies come out and they have a ceremony which they celebrate their virginity. You dig what I'm saying? And they all take to the streets. And I don't know how long this ceremony is like. I don't know if it's so many days, if it stretches out to a week, but it's just hundreds and thousands of young girls between maybe the ages of 12 going all the way up to maybe like 20, early 20s or something like that. And they just haven't, you can look it up, right? They just got this ceremony going on and they're celebrating their sexuality, but they're all virgins, right? Now, there are men in the village, they're watching. And as the men watching the ceremony, just keep in mind that it's tribal, so the women have no tops on. And sometimes the women don't have no bottoms on either. And the men are not just like hanging around and saying, oh, I'm going to hit this one, I'm going to hit that one. It's like one of the most purest things you ever see, right? This is what happens when you have centuries of traditions and culture. Okay. They were bred this way. They were bred this way. And this psychology is in their DNA. And every generation, it is just, They keep producing more, and they just, they're excited about their virginity. And then the men are just like, they're supportive of that. Okay, this is in Swaziland. Let's come back to America. Beloved, don't you know it was a point in time in our history here as Black Americans, right? In which if a woman wanted to get her freedom, she can purchase her freedom by having so many children on Massa Jones Plantation or Massa Williams Plantation, some shit like that. You know that, right? She can have 8 or 10 or 12 kids, whatever, you know, Massa Williams or Massa Smith said, hey, listen, you give me 15 children, we're going to give you your manumission, where you're going to be free. This was the Black woman's and the brown woman's and the red woman's out in this country, out of slave, quote unquote, slave life. And then when they did this, they produced all these children. The back door was, well, we need you to rear these children, but you're free, but we need you to rear them up, and then you're all set. Okay, now let's just use an example. If Tamika is on Massa Williams Plantation and she had 12 kids, so she can get a manumission, she can be free. She can get a paperwork, she's free, right? Because your freedom was just a signature away. She produced the 12 children, and Tamika got 6 boys and she got 6 girls, right? Okay, what do you think she's going to teach her daughters when her daughters are looking to her and say, well, how do we get free? And she say, this is how you get free, baby girl. You just got to do this. But when she look to the sons, she's going to say, hey, listen, don't give Master Smith no trouble now. Don't give Master Williams no trouble now. Just work hard and this, that, because you don't want him to pull me back into slavery because of your actions, because you steal my chilling. I just need you to, right? Don't try to be his competition. Don't try to be free. Just work hard for Master Williams, Master Smith, Master Norwood, Master Thomas. But then, again, she's looking at the daughters. If you give him the chilling that he want, baby, he'll make you free. That breeder concept, that mentality, it seeps into the fabric of a woman, and it's passed subconsciously, generation to generation. It's in your chromosome. When you passing that X chromosome down, that's in the makeup. That mentality, is that breeder, that's hypersexuality thing, it's in the makeup. We are quote unquote free from slavery after the Emancipation Proclamation with 1860. I always say 1860 to 65 because they had the Civil War that is running together. Okay, so boom. Where's the therapy at to get that mind frame off you? Man, you know, the devil did this to break up the Black home. He'd been broke up the Black home when he told the queens that 12 kids would give you your freedom. The home was fucked. Just think, you can benefit from sex. He's teaching the Black woman from the plantation days all the way to now, because this is what that Section 8 and all this shit is about. You can benefit from sex. Just give. Today, they just giving the children the state got them. Because you're going to have to get up, get a job, and do all this whole kind of shit. But that's all right. Mama, we're going to give you the benefit of producing these chilling for us. Just raise them. Just do your job. And just give them to us. Because they're going to come to the prisons for us. And if they don't come to the prisons, they're going to go work for Master Johnson or Master one of these jobs somewhere. But we're going to give you the benefit for producing children for us. This is your freedom. Produce us a good slave. And when you produce us a son, don't make him a rebel against us. Huh, here go a picture of the so-called white Jesus. Keep this in your house. Make sure he looking at this. He praying to these white angels. He see these white angels, this white Jesus every day, and everything will be fine. This is in our sister psychology. Brothers always picking up shit about what come from slavery. What happened to the sisters in slavery then, brother? You don't think her being a breeder and a bed warmer for 300 plus years, you don't think that has no effect on her today? Our people didn't go through no therapy. We didn't have a 100-year block where we were isolated to ourselves to get our shit together. We went from that right into, come on, man. We went Reconstruction, and then we just kept on going. We had to keep living. So our sister's sexuality is all fucked up. It's all fucked up. I don't know, beloved. Maybe all that is a different story for a different day. I seen our brother LeBron. And to me, I'm looking at our brother who do everything right. I've been watching this kid because I don't watch the NBA no more. But when he first got into the league, him with his high school sweetheart, all of his children by the same woman, how he do his mom. And just think about the concept. His mom, he's a benefit to her. She has her freedom, right? Everything the brother did, he did it right. To me, though, just to me, when I see nephew them, LeBronny and Bryce, playing ball, I'm thinking, what are we doing? Your father is worth $1 billion. What are we really doing? Oh, let me say it this way. When I see our nephew, LeBronny and Bryce, I really, really think this. Your father's worth $1 billion. And he's playing on an organization for owner, Jenny Buss, that he has more money than she do. That's what I really be thinking. I'm like, why the fuck is you? She's worth $500 million. You're worth twice as much as her. How the fuck are you playing on her team? How does that work? What did Jenny Buss ever, what did she ever do? She didn't, what did she ever do that you should be putting your time, talent, and energy and working for her organization to make her rich? Because you're the only way she's going to get rich. You know what I'm saying? Like, her pops left her some bread, but he ain't left her. This chick used to be on Playboy. She wasn't no, she walk around like the almighty businesswoman, but that's why I'm glad I'm a man of a certain age. You know what I'm saying? Because we think about older, you know, once you become a little older in this country, you got a good memory where you can remember, no, she's playing businesswoman now. When I was coming up in the 90s, that's the same chick that was on in the front of Playboy in 1995. You know what I'm saying? This is when I was in high school. She was on the cover. She can play big businesswoman to y'all. Nah, we remember her from back in the day. But it makes me feel weird. Why is LeBron working for her? Why is LeBron around Rick? You worth $1 billion. Why do your children want to play for an organization where the Jaimes own all the teams? You can do your own thing, brother. Check it out. Let me say it this way. There was a game we used to play back in the 80s. You know what I'm saying? And contrary to popular belief, we just ain't run around and play 21 and shoot dice all the time in Detroit, you know, shoot pistols and all of this. One of the greatest hood games or family games back in the 80s was Atari, it was ColecoVision, and it was Monopoly. Everybody played a game called Monopoly. And you can have a bunch of partners or relatives. Y'all can play this game. It was like 2 to 8 players. You know what I'm saying? Me, myself, I used to love to be the hat because this is like the icons that you had to pick. I would love to be the hat, or I picked Battleship. Right? And let's just go real back. Let's go back to the 80s. Let's talk about Monopoly real quick. On Monopoly, right, at the start of each game, the way it began is the bank would give everybody $1,500. You know what I'm saying? So a person can be a player and they can both be the bank. But the thing about the bank is that, you know, the money, the bank never runs out of money. You know what I'm saying? So, okay, boom. Somebody playing the bank, but everybody else, they get their $1,500. We all start at the same spot. You dig what I'm saying? And then you can see there's chips on the side. You know what I mean? There's chips, there's chances. And what I mean chips is like, the bank got, you can see the red houses. They like, that's code for hotels. And you see it's about, it's a bunch of green houses, you know what I'm saying? And then it was like title deed cards. You dig what I mean? Okay, so boom. Everybody starts at the same spot, but it's a roll of the dice, right? Okay. When Black Americans are going through America, we don't understand that we're in a game. because how Monopoly kind of worked, it really works. Because see, there's an option for you while you're playing Monopoly. You can either just pay rent, or you can buy real estate and other properties, as well as, you know, like you can take a chance. You can take a chance, or the community chest. You can even go to jail. You know what I'm saying? They had it so sweet in this game, you could either go to jail. But the thing is that every role that you take and every movement that you take, you either have an opportunity to own what you got cracking, or you have to pay rent to somebody else, right? The universe have given us all the gifts and talents that we need for ownership. But there's a 10% that is among us, that is the bloodsuckers of the poor, that they're living off the 85%, the deaf, dumb, and blind. Their job is to keep us just going around the board, just paying rent, just moving around, just making everybody on the Monopoly board wealthy, except for our own people. We don't own shit on the board. And then when we get those that are amongst us, that are able to get us back into ownership, they're trained not to do so. It's a trick. Family, titleship, occupation, position. Ownership is how you move in this Monopoly board we call America. But see, in this Monopoly board, it's based on kindreds. It's based on your kind. It's based on your culture. It's based on your race. So just like I used to play Monopoly back in the day, and I used to love to get the hat. Give me the hat. Give me the battleship. I'm moving around the board. Well, in America's Monopoly, you move around the board with your ethnicity. If your ethnicity is trained and taught just to go around the board and just pay people all the time, and just the bank will give you all the money that you need. The bank will give you what you want. But if you're just walking around and you don't know ownership, the money is going to go. The money is going to go because, beloved, you don't have anything on the board that's going to generate any money. When the devil robs you, he's robbing us. We have no factories. We have no stores. What do we have in America, beloved? What do we have in America? They got a show called 30 for 30, where they have black entertainers, athletes that made hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's gone. They own nothing. They had big houses, they had cars, they had some boats, they helped some folk get through school, and they bought some clothes, and they got some jewelry. And the money is gone. But look at the person that was assisting them in handling their money. That's by design, beloved. It's the devil. It's the Jaimes that's helping them run themselves into. What do our people know anything about the stock market? We all know real estate. The Detroit Lions should own half the city by now. The Detroit Pistons should own half the city by now. They should have apartment complexes all, but they don't. They help these young brothers ruin their money. And they're using LeBron as a tool to trap future athletes, beloved. Because see, that was the whole hype game that they gave our brother. The hype game that they gave him was, you know, you want to play hard, LeBron. You want to play hard so you can be the best ever. You want to be on the Mount Rushmore of the Jaime Basketball Association. You're the highest. I mean, just think about this shit. You're the fucking leading scorer of all time. Man, that's beautiful, beloved. But then we had a conversation 6 months ago. We said, yo, our village got to make a decision. Do we want black achievement or we want black ownership? Because we keep achieving shit. But the platforms that we are achieving shit on belongs to them. You're the highest scorer in the Small Hat Basketball Association. That is a beautiful thing, brother. Okay, now where's your basketball association at? Why do you think we enjoy seeing Bronny and Bryce on the court? Some of us, they want to go to the NBA. Jenny Buss, look. The Buss family are building owners. And our people, our family, we, every generation, we continue to build servants after servants after servants. And then there was a number we thought, man, if we can get to this number, beloved, we ain't got to never worry about working for these crackers no more. But we got a $1 billion brother on the court. We got a $1 billion brother on the court. And he don't own anything. Now he's walking around. He's doing advertisement. I seen the brother had 5 or 6 pizza boxes in his hand. I said, what the fuck is he doing with? I said, these devils ain't shit. What the fuck is he doing with 5 or 6 pizza boxes in his hand? Advertising. Fuck them. You know how many black-owned businesses in Cleveland that we need you to invest in Detroit and Milwaukee and Atlanta? Fuck them. But see, we're not his money handler. You know what I'm saying? We're not his advisor. We can't get to our brother to get a deal to get investment into. We can't get him to get in front of our projects, our businesses. You know what I'm saying? Our people are entrepreneurs as well. We can't get the brightest lights to stand next to ours because they're too busy standing next to the devils. But here's the thing about it, though. Here's the thing. Brother, when you come off that flow and you done with that game, brother, them crackers going to be done with you. If you ever seen the people that move on to the next so fast, beloved, they move on to the next. The NBA owners, don't you know they have children and grandchildren like everybody else? Yet none of their children or grandchildren, they're not seeking to play on the teams. They love their position in the skybox. Brother, we want to see Bronny and Bryce in the skybox looking to be owners one day. Not in the NBA. Let our people start their own league. We don't want to see our people be servants. We getting down to second and third generation servants in the NBA now. Looking at Steph Curry, it's cool. You a second generation NBA player, brother? You got all these hundreds of million dollar contracts. You and your partners can't walk off and get your own league and do your own thing? Klay, second generation NBA player. Come on, man. What are we doing? We set it up for these homies like that? We don't know we on a monopoly board. 100 years from now. 100 years from now. We'll be all back in chains on plantations all over again. Won't own shit. Won't own nothing in this country. Our people won't even be able to be here. The cracker on his way out. The Latinos is coming right in. Our brown sea brothers, they finna own every fucking thing when they get here. Because they understand, hey man, this shit is about family over here. This is a family kind of hustle over here. This is all about family, titleship, occupation. It ain't about the money, it's the position. It's a position, it's the ownership here. It's all about that here. It ain't about a bunch of money. If you got the right occupation, you can school the motherfucker. Look, the guy that make $24,000, that's an occupation, that's a police officer, he can pull over the fucking millionaire, slap cuffs on him and slap him all around. If the millionaire doesn't know anybody in law enforcement, he's fucked. That just lets you know the power of money. Yeah, money is cool, but this shit ran kind of different in America. Your title is everything in America. Your title is everything in America. You try to tell young girls that when they date, hey, baby girl, you better get your title. Oh, titles don't mean nothing. But go tell your mama that. Go walk in the house and call your mama Karen. If titles don't mean nothing, when you walk in the house and see your daddy, call him Roger. No, his title mean, hey, that shit ain't finna happen. Because titles mean something. This is America. Titles mean something. Money is cool. They paid our brother $1 billion. Listen, Nike gave our brother $1 billion to have a lifetime deal with. Listen, just think about that. A lifetime deal. And I said, beloved, when they did that, they were stopping him from being their competition one day. They'll give you $1 billion, a lifetime deal. Yeah, you'll never be their competition. They know the money is going to go. As soon as you leave, you get through playing the game, they're paying you all the way because it's cheaper to pay you this than for you to be their competition. They know your name is bigger than theirs. We keep getting the check. No ownership. Well, Michael Jackson taught us all what happens when you just get a check. He sold 750 million albums. And I don't know how old you are that's listening underneath the sound of my voice, but I'm going to let you. CDs and shit was $20 a pop. Yet, our brother died in debt. We'll leave it there. Right, beloved, we'll leave it there. We have an open enemy, and y'all think the guy's human, and he is not. Whoever you like and you look up to, Crackers is behind the wall devising a plan to take him down. Or devising a plan to take her down. This is what they do. How many of us, we can just see it in Hollywood? They build you up. They build you up now. We just watching them build you up. But we just know, well, they dealing with devils. So eventually, they're going to do their best to tear you down. Ownership. Separation. Marriage is our only salvation. And we'll leave it there. Peace and black power to your family. Yes. Beloved, we thank you guys so much for listening. We thank you guys for hanging out. This is indeed Real Black Content from Podcast. This is Brother V, man. I'm getting with you guys later. Peace, peace, beloved, and more peace.
All of our entertainers, see, we have the talent. They have the expertise. They attach themselves to our talent. They are the managers, the agents, and they are the accountants. And that's why our black artists loved fame and got fame, but died poor because somebody else got their money, sent their children to the finest schools, and are able to continue to rule while you pass on nothing to your children but the legacy of your fame and nothing else. But today, they've developed a new strategy. Let's make our Negroes rich.
Thanks for listening. Remember to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Google, Anchor, Spotify, and Facebook. Also, don't forget to like, share, and comment on the podcast. Your opinion of what you just heard is important to the platform. So yes, beloved, your comments are the engine and fuel to the machine. Stay blessed and have a powerful day.